So, Lord, we just yield this moment to you. And Lord, I ask you to just yield this moment in our hearts. Lord, I ask you to settle yourself in our hearts, Lord, in every area. Lord, I thank you that you would have us to know that for some of us, Lord, there's places that we haven't given you lordship yet. And Lord, we give you an opportunity to come in to those areas right now. We ask you, Lord, to bring your truth and your healing into those places that we've protected and those places that we've tried to hide. We ask you to bring an understanding of who you are into those places. We ask you, Lord, to manifest yourself supernaturally on our behalf. Lord, allow us to be that reflection, that image, that express image of you. And Lord, as we come into agreement on these things, let that power of agreement, Lord, catapult us into your grace. Let that power of agreement bring us into a unity, a oneness before you. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you this day. Amen and amen. We're talking about relationship and love. We're talking about, when we're talking about the dare, the love dare, it's not just about spouses, though that's probably one of the primary ones that he wants to use. But it's no matter who we are, there's a relationship in our life that we need to significantly increase. And we have the opportunity as we begin to proceed in this to allow him to teach us, to love in us and through us, to draw us into a greater unity with our brothers and our sisters, draw us into a greater unity with him and his kindness, his goodness, his wonder. And so with that in mind, I'd like to turn to Ephesians 4, which is a chapter about unity, but the unity of the body and drawing us into the unity of the body. And I'm going to read verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. First, let me do a little bit of definition. Love here, as he's talking about, is charity. It's kindness. It's unselfishness. It's that agape love that God has and that we too can have one for another. It's greater than the phileo love, which is like a brother to a brother. But it's an unselfish, I'm going to give of myself even with no expectation of return. And that's the kind of love that he's looking for us to enter into, because that's the kind of love that he has offered us. But that word there, there's a word there for speaking truth. And there's a definition for that word, and it means real, actual, not counterfeit, presenting an action. Because, see, love presents an action. Truth is an action. And what we're going to see here is that When we're talking about speaking the truth in love, the way that I've seen it used most of the time is that if I see a fault in a brother, I just come and tell him and say, well, brother, here's what you're doing. And I'm just speaking the truth in love. And I just hammer him about the head and shoulders and beat him up with this word, this encouragement. That's not what God's talking about here. But that's the way it usually gets used in Christian circles. But see, what God's trying to do here is he's not looking for you to come into a verbal joust with somebody. It's not even about somebody else. It's about you. It's about you. Mark just said, let your life express truth. And that's exactly what it is. Because it's about letting your deeds, your manner show Christ and show love. But we can look up there, and there's something further that I want to reveal, but I want to give a little context. So if we go back to verse 11. And if we realize that from verse 11 all the way down through, past verse 23, it's all one topic. So we want to keep everything that we do, whenever we study something out, we want to keep it in context of where it's at, what is set. It's not just one scripture we want to pull out. We want to look at the whole relevant scripture around it. And this scripture could go further in both directions. But for this part, I can tell you that this much is all in context. Verse 11, it says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all attain to the unity of the faith. So see, we have the fivefold being put in play here. They have the fivefold being put in play because they have a job to do. And that job is a job of preparation until verse 13, until there's a unity in the body. That's the purpose. See, it's not my job to change you. It's my job to present truth to you. And as I present truth to you, give you an opportunity to grab a hold of it and grab a hold of what God wants to do in this hour and in your life. Hallelujah. In verse 14, as a result of that preparation, as a result of the ministry that's gone forth, as a result of the gospel being taught and the gospel being put forth. We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful seeming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects of Him. So what we see here is that because of this process that's been sparked, there's a discernment that is birthed. There's a discernment that's been birthed because no longer are we subject to every shifting wind. No longer are we subject to every person who comes along with a good sounding word that wants to lead us in off to Guyana, to where they want to get us to drink some kind of Kool-Aid that everybody dies from. God is putting us in a place where there's a discernment in the body by the equipping that goes forth from your fivefold. So when we look at that, and we look at speaking the truth in love, then we begin to see that speaking the truth is what? The gospel is truth. So we're speaking the gospel. Or another way that we've said it around here is we're confessing the word. We're confessing the word. Our life is to be confessing the word that we've heard. Our life is confessing the word that we've walked in. Our life is confessing the word that we've lived. It's confessing the word. It's causing us to mature. See, because our first we need to look to ourselves. whenever we come into a situation. And now, and this amazed me when I was first, I don't know, maybe a year or so saved, and I was riding with a gentleman who had been saved for 20 years. And there was a certain situation that had come up, and I was asking him, is this me or is it something in them? But my first question was, is it me? And he looked at me and said, in my 20 years, it never occurred to me to ask that question of myself. It's important for us to look to ourselves first. Before we start taking the log out of somebody else's eye, we need to take it out of our own. So that we're not just accusing somebody, we're coming alongside with them. We're not just plucking out something out of them when we've got the same fault. Because oftentimes the things that we find the most despicable in somebody else are things that we actually see inside ourselves. So therefore, it behooves us to act in grace. I extend a lot of grace because I know I need a lot of grace. So I encourage you to extend grace to your brothers and sisters. You extend grace to your spouse, because in that you will find that there's a greater grace for you. Part of this week's challenge is coming up is kindness. Kindness is about grace. It's about being more interested in their need than in your need. So we want to look to ourselves. This scripture is about looking to ourselves, because it's not about changing somebody else, because there's really only one person that you can change. There's only one person that you can genuinely affect. And that's yourself. In any relationship, no matter what the relationship is, whether you've known them all your life or all their life, or you've only known them for a few minutes, there's only one person that you can truly affect, and that's yourself. So when we spend all our time trying to change our mate and not working on ourselves, we're wasting our time. We're creating a situation and a circumstance that's only going cause frustration. When we see our friend and we spend all our time worrying about what they're doing, all we're doing is an exercise in futility. You have to realize that there's a place that each person can come to allow him to have their full work in you. Because it's in my heart that I can make change. You know, confession of our circumstances doesn't change anything. But when we begin to confess the truth, when we begin to confess the word, when we begin to act on faith in that word, it changes everything. If I had confessed the circumstances, my son would have been in prison a long time ago. But I stood on faith. And I was on faith in such a degree that when we stood in that courtroom, or we went in there and sat down in that courtroom, I could feel the presence of angels in every corner of the room. I could feel God's presence on me. And I had such a peace that I thought, this is ridiculous. I felt guilty because I was in such peace, because God's peace was within us. And when he got up there and he began, the judge asked him, well, what do you have to share for yourself? What do you have to say? And he began to share it is that before last night, I'd never spoken in tongues. This is what he said. This is what he told the judge. And I immediately go, because he said, but last night I was reading the Bible and I decided that I wanted it. And he said, I began to call out for God, and his voice rose up within me. And he said, as I began to pray in tongues, I had this vision, and I began to see myself caught in the mud for a period of time. But then God began to came and he set me free. And I'm looking at the judge. I'm trying to read his expression, you know. Okay, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing, buddy? Because meanwhile, Kim and I are both shot. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But he simply told the truth. The judge asked, he told the judge, I haven't done anything that you've asked me to do. I haven't given you any reason to believe in me. But this is what I see. He said, I've lied to you. I've tried to run away from you. I've tried to do all this and that. He said, I've not done anything that you asked. But I know my God. And the judge sat there and he looked at him. And he said, well, I don't know about your vision, son, but I'm not sending you to prison today. The amazing part about all that is that in the natural, there was no way that that was going to happen. But God. But God. I can't tell you the magnitude of the joy as I began to listen and see this thing happening with him. And I began to see him confess the Lord in his life. Because he hadn't had that kind of relationship. And yet I saw him step into something. And I saw God act on his behalf as he stepped into something. As he just stepped into a faith that was beyond anything he'd experienced in his life. That same place is available to each and every one of us. If we'll step into a faith, if we'll begin to confess God and before everyone, and we'll begin to confess it and live it, it is an impact and a power beyond comparison. When we begin to confess the word, it's an act of love that brings favor and alignment, brings maturity. We have a thing called framing your world. And I can tell you the power of confession in your life, the alignment that it brings as you begin to speak the word over your life is tremendous. I have great peace because I love the word and nothing shall offend me. Father, I thank you that I'm in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on thee. Father, I thank you you've given unto me a covenant of peace that shall not be removed, neither shall your kindness depart from me. As we just begin to just speak out the scriptures, it's not so much as speaking it out, but hearing. Do we know that hearing causes faith? For faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So there's a process that begins, and the person that you're going to believe the most is you. So as you begin to speak out the word, and as you begin to testify, you're testifying of yourself to yourself. And you're seeing a different reality than the circumstances around you. What you look into, you become. So the more you look into this word, the more you become like that word. You know, it wasn't a coincidence that when I first got saved, I had tremendous levels of, I don't know exactly how to call it, but, you know, wrong thoughts, wrong believing, wrong everything. But as I began to confess the word, it all began to change. It's not coincidence that 9 months after I began confessing the word, I came into my first opportunity to speak and preach. That's a birthing process, a natural birthing process, a natural order that God even sees in that. But confession of a word doesn't stop with just a verbal discourse. Confession of the word is how we live. It's an action. Remember we defined it earlier when we were defining speaking the truth. We said it's a presenting an action. We're presenting an action with our life. We're putting action to our love walk. Acts of faith in a true gospel result in love being displayed. When we see love displayed, it's going to look like those seven pillars that we have out there on the wall. There's a purpose that we have those seven pillars. There's a purpose because that intercession, that worship, the healing, the deliverance, the benevolence, all these things flow. The evangelism, all these things flow out of a love that's abounding and overflowing in your heart. You know, just repeat with me the seven pillars. Salvation, healing, deliverance, worship, intercession, discipleship, and benevolence. Why do I make such a big deal out of that with you? Because I want you to understand that these seven pillars aren't just something that happens in the church building. They're something that happens in your life. They're who we are as Christians. And as we tap into that, as we come into alignment with that, then we begin to act in accordance with that. I've seen Walter go out on the streets time and again. And I've also seen him in intercession for our Joshua, who can't do those things for himself. It's an awesome thing to be in here like we were Thursday morning, and we come to pray and healing breaks out. It's awesome to see God doing things in every area of our life as we begin to manifest that love one to another. And that's what the Love Dare is really about, is allowing us to progress our relationships with each other and with our Father. Hallelujah. Because what we do is a confession of our word. What we do is a confession of our life. In verse 16, we see that confession of the word brings order, because from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. It promotes unity. The more healed I am, the less abrasive I am to you. The more healed I am, the less I'm wanting to try to control and manipulate somebody else, because I no longer have to. I can allow God to be God. Allow Him to do what He does. The more healed we are as an individual, the less buttons we'll offer for our mate to push. Because see, it's real easy to blame our mate for pushing the button. But the reality is, we don't have to give anybody that control. And that's a hard thing to think about sometimes. It's like, well, you don't know who I'm dealing with. But the reality is, whether or not you react is up to you. Now, you may have a habit of reacting, but how you react and what you react to are of your choosing. And you don't have to give anybody authority in your life. It promotes unity. If I know I'm a pastor, then I'm not going to get in the way of the evangelist. I'm not trying to do his job or hinder him. I need to be helping him. Why? Because the evangelist helps me. Each one of you will go out and bring a friend in. In 2 weeks, we'll have this place totally packed. So that a person doing evangelism, my job is to prepare you as much as possible and give you the tools to bring somebody else in. If I'm a gospel entrepreneur or a king or basically someone whose whole mission in the mission field is to earn money, then I know how to come and earn that money and bring it and present it to the priest and give it to the priest and then take my hands off of it. I see too many situations where the person with all the money in the church runs the church. And God didn't ordain that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Your job is to take the funds and leave it off with the man that God put in charge of it. If I'm helps, I know how to come alongside the fivefold instead of trying to be the fivefold. A whole lot of us spend a lot of our time trying to be that person in the pulpit or that evangelist or that missionary or something that God didn't ordain for us to be because we think we have to, because there's a system that's been set up within the church that's a hierarchy. Well, the hierarchy doesn't exist in God's eyes. It only exists in man's eyes, a man trying to elevate themselves above someone else. It doesn't work. You know, you're a pastor, you're an evangelist, to become a pastor, to become a teacher, to become a prophet, to become an apostle. If you want to know the truth, the apostle's at the bottom of the totem pole because he's supposed to serve all. The reality is there's every person in here is just as important to God as any other person in here. And we all have a job. And for us to be knit and fit jointly together, for us to come alongside one another and walk with one another, to be joined with one another, we have to know who we are. And as we know who we are, then God can put us in that right position. The knee bone doesn't connect to the neck bone. It would look a little awkward. But oftentimes that's what we have is because people, they're convinced that they have to be something other than what they are. For some of us, we're to intercede. For some of us, we're to come alongside and offer that servant's heart and the servant's hand on the camera. For some of us, we're to come alongside and offer up the abundance of the fruit that we've earned. For some of us, you are fivefold. And we're to teach or to preach or evangelize. But every one of us, every person in here has some level of that fivefold within them. That may not be your primary calling, but you have some level of that fivefold within you. Because everywhere that you go, when you sit down at Denny's, you can begin to look at the person that came there and sat down just the two spots down on the bar and say, "Do you know Jesus? Or I have the most wonderful thing going on in my life. Would you like to talk about it?" You can do these things. You can share the truth of what God shared with you. Because when you're on fire about something, then the other person's going to get on fire about something. Hallelujah. We all need each other. We all need each other. We're looking for that place of unity, that place of being one. That's the purpose of what we're going for. The purpose of the love dare is to draw into a oneness with one another, with our spouse, our friends. Because we all have something that we can give one to the other. You know, I absolutely, and I was real tempted to try to make it happen, but I absolutely loved what happened last week where a number of people got up and just shared a word. Because that ministered, it was the body ministering to the body. And Randy's word, for example, ministered to Tammy. I know because I got confirmation both directions. When Les shared about the blood, I know that ministered to different people. When we come together like this, I want you to have that expectancy to be able to share with one another, to be able to encourage and strengthen one another. Because it's in you. And then that testimony that's in you will bring freedom to someone else. That's the power of the testimony of Jesus. That's why it works. See, there's a grace that He gave us, the grace that He poured out upon the cross. What we entered into. We entered into His love, His kindness, His acceptance. We entered into a freedom with Him. And He's not looking for you to pay it back. He's looking for you to pay it forward. Because as you pay it forward, then you become that instrument that God can use. Hallelujah. As we take our proper place, the body is fit jointly together. As we stand confessing the word with our life and even in the verbal agreement with it through this. It doesn't have to be this. You can get your Bible, pick a scripture. Doesn't even really doesn't even matter what scripture. We've done an exercise here before where we just take a scripture almost at random and just begin to pray that scripture. And if you pray a scripture long enough, God's going to give you revelation on it. If you pray that scripture long enough, God's going to begin to show you something more about yourself or about your situation, about everything around you, just through the word. There's a life that comes from that scripture. This week's challenges are about kindness and unselfishness. And they represent opportunities for us to speak the truth in love. The first one on kindness. Les, you sharing a funny back there? Ah, awesome. In addition to saying nothing negative to our spouse or our friend, we need to do one unexpected gesture of kindness, an act of kindness for this person that we've adopted. I'm one up on you already on that one. That's right. for this it's okay. It's fun. It gives you a way to relate. It's not official. But if we allow ourselves, we share in the kindness one to another. As we begin to see the need of somebody else and step in and answer that need, put somebody else first. That's what kindness is about. It's the anticipation of what they're going to need and meeting that need. It's about allowing ourselves, when we see a discussion headed the wrong way, to step in kindness. It's about being the first to forgive, the first to repent. Those are things that a kindness does. When we see our brother and sister in need, it's about lending out and reaching out with a hand. Kindness does that. I must probably share maybe next week, I don't know, but on 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Kindness covers a multitude of sin. Kindness is an umbrella that shelters and brings forth a change. The atmosphere all around you may be raining, but when you're under that covering, there's no rain. So it begins to cover a multitude of sin. Kindness is patient towards one another. And the second part of the challenge, because I decided that we would kind of double them up, says this: whatever you put your time and energy and money into will become more important to you. It's hard to care for something you're not investing in. So along with restraining from negative comments, buy your spouse something, your friend something, that says, "I was thinking about you today." Put your money where your mouth is. Hallelujah. Because those things that we invest in, you know, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. When we make an investment in somebody, we're saying, "I accept you. I accept you." See, I was hoping to kind of put this off for 2 weeks because it's going to be Valentine's. I mean my anniversary. Wrong holiday. So I thought, you know, this would be easy. Then I can do two things at once. But I decided not to go for the easy way out. So we want to say, "I love you," with an action. We want to say, "I love you," with something that we buy. And when you buy something, make sure it's not really for you. Guys, this is not the time to buy them just that, you know, that special little thing for, you know, the intimate apparel. That's really about you, not about them. Okay? When you buy something, make sure that it's something that they care about. You know, this will be a real good opportunity for you to sit down with that person, whoever it is that you have selected, and just ask him, "What says love to you?" Because if you'll understand what says love to them, it'll guide your selection. Because as you understand their need, it allows you to meet their need. You know, Kim can say love to me just by coming and grabbing my arm. When she grabs my arm, I feel like the tallest, biggest, baddest guy on the whole planet. And I'd do anything she asked me to do. Because it says love to me. So, but if she came up to me and she just did something that didn't affect me that way, my response could be entirely different. So it's interesting to find out what says love, because that's the first thing to identify. Because if you speak the way in the language that they are understanding, if your communication is on their level, you're going to get a whole lot better result. As you do this, as you put kindness forth, as you begin to invest in them, you're putting their need above your need. Instead of buying a new golf club, you know, maybe you get them a little token that they want. Don't get them a frying pan. Show a little creativity here. Hallelujah. I think we got the point. Was there anything, Kimmy, that you wanted to add?
Well, I think the only thing I wanted to add about the second part of the dare is about the buying thing. This isn't about cost or money or, ooh, you know, "I can buy you a diamond ring," or, you know, it's I think the important part of that was the communication part. is to spend the time to find out what does speak love to that person and center it on that rather than I can get you something really neat and I know you're going to like it kind of thing. So spend the time. And I think that will definitely help.
Lord, good.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As this is time to, one of the things is about that we want to shift also. I just want to say thank you for everybody's attention today. I thank you for extending your love over James and his family. Amen. Amen. And just feel free to participate over there, Charlene, and Vi, and whoever else, okay? I mean, I want this to be, as we go forth, I want there to be just that safety. That this is not about coming to church and to hear somebody. This is about coming to church to meet God and to share with one another. All right? Amen.